from Scotland. So for those of you who don't know, we call him affectionately Uncle Danny, but Pastor Danny Olmsted from Scotland, and our missionary over there.
To the people with a strange sounding accent. But he's from Canada, so don't call him an American, will you? Yeah?
Thank you, Joe. Well, good morning. Thank you for the privilege of being here with you. We've been serving in Scotland about 12 years now, the last 8 years. We've been in the village where my mother was born back in 1915. I know the lady who lives in the house where she was born. We're in the northeast, above Aberdeen, and about, oh my word, what would it be? 35, 40 miles above Aberdeen. And Peterhead is the fishing center, and there are about 20,000 in Peterhead, and there's a number of villages dotted around that. We're living in Longside, ministering in Hatton. So there's 20,000 in Peterhead. There's St. Fergus, probably 15,000 or 1,500. And Longside, where we live, couple thousand. Mintlaw, couple thousand. Bottom, couple thousand. Cruden Bay, couple thousand. Hatton, thousand. So there, in a 10-mile radius of Peterhead, there's probably close on to 50,000 with the farming community as well. And I was sharing with Mrs. Weston last night that a year ago, last November, I was talking with some folks one morning, and they said, the Congregational Church in Cruden Bay is closing. The United Free Church in Bottom is closing. St. Andrew's Parish Church in Peterhead is closing. They're going to be amalgamating with Trinity Church. St. Fergus is closing. Old Deer is going to be a museum. New Deer is closing. Savick is closing. There's more. They're just closing them left, right, and center. So I went home, and just pondering all this, and the first verse that came to mind was Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus was confronted by the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus called out his name, Saul, Saul. He says, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. But he didn't stop there. Whom thou persecutest. Saul didn't have to wonder, what Jesus is this? And then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So after a while, I said to Sue, I'm going for a drive. And I went first to Cruden Bay, walked around this big old pink granite building, and prayed and prayed. Then went up to Bottom, did the same thing at the Free Church, and then up to St. Andrew's in Peterhead, did the same thing, and went and saw a man, believer. And I said, so what's going to happen with all these buildings? He said, they'll probably be sold off. They get a big price out of them. Build them into pubs, casinos, office buildings, apartments. but they're solid buildings. And so I just keep asking. We've looked around. And a number of years ago, about 60-some years ago, there was a huge split in the Brethren. And they built different small chapels around Peterhead. So I've been inquiring about them. And first one was for sale and it sold. And the next one, there's one older man, he's 88. He's the only living trustee. He wants to get clear of it so that if he dies, then it's a real mess to try to sort out. So I shared my testimony with him. He said, look, I'm going to give these other people who are interested a date to make a decision. Are they going to buy? Are they not? And he said, if they don't buy, you can buy it very, very cheap. Okay. So a week ago Thursday, I went to see him. When I knew we were coming, I said, we're going to be away for a month. I didn't want him trying to contact me, and I wasn't able to be contacted. He said, well, I'm sorry, but the two solicitors just got together yesterday. That's fine. All I wanted to know, is it available? It's not available. So we keep looking. There was also a pub that closed that we looked at. Residence over top, been ideal to live upstairs, take the pub out, make a church in there. That wasn't a goer. There's another pub that closed. All these closed because of COVID. You know, COVID wasn't that bad after all.
That's right.
So I went and looked at it with another man. He says, all these flat roof buildings, they pose their own problems. And I said, oh, you mean it needs a roof on it? Oh, what's that going to cost? I don't know. It's irrelevant. If the Lord has it for us, it's irrelevant. You don't worry about the cost. If the Lord's in it, he'll take care of it. He's always taking care of us. So, here we are. Hallelujah for the cross. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. On the morning of the 22nd, I heard my wife crying. She came down the stairs, and I was in the bathroom. By the time I got out, I couldn't understand what she was saying. But she said, Ian has died. Her first cousin. And after 35 plus years of ministry, I usually go to the first portion of scripture that the Lord lays on my heart as I think about the deceased. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, there's two words, and it's sound doctrine. But we're going to start in verse 1 and read the first three verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Now, Paul is writing this to young Timothy. He's pastoring in Ephesus. He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But, hallelujah for the buts in the gospel. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Sound doctrine. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this, the Lord's day. Lord, we thank you for your tremendous love toward us. In spite of ourselves, you're concerned for us. You meet our needs. You give us air to breathe. You give us water to drink. You give us food to eat. And Lord, so many are not thankful to you. So many say they are atheists. They don't even believe in you. But Lord, we come to you this morning asking you to work in our midst, that you would guide us, that you would be our teacher, that we would just be attentive to you and not miss that which you want to do in us and through us. And we'll thank you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. What is sound doctrine? Sound comes from the Greek word where we get our English word hygiene. And those who have ever been involved in the medical field understand hygiene. It's important. Doctrine deals with teaching, deals with the material, not the person who's handling the Word of God, but the very Word of God itself. Sound doctrine. Because it's true. It's real. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, the truth shall set you free. He also said to his Heavenly Father in John 17:17, thy word is truth. We can count on it. So as I thought of Pastor Ian Clyde Weston, the first thought was sound doctrine. And he desired it. Do you desire sound, healthy, hygienic teaching? The truth will set you free. If you turn your back on truth, you're bound. It's like being in a straitjacket. You've got no freedom whatsoever. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, a person is free to do whatever he wants us to do. Simple as that. Or are you like those in the second part of verse 3, after their own lusts? I want, I want, I want, I want. I had a female cousin whom, well, it was Dad's sister's daughter. And Dad used to say about her, she had the gimmies. Give me this, give me that, give me something else. He said, that's her problem. She's got the gimmies. Well, there are those who have their own lusts. And they don't really care about what the Lord wants for them. And they have no idea what they're missing out on. When I went to look at that Free Church in Bottom, I was just assuming this was a member of the congregation who I was meeting with. I had no idea. The denomination had sold several buildings off before Christmas last year, and he bought one with the intention of making it into a cafe. Could make some money. So as we walked through, eventually he said something about when I bought this, and I thought, this character is not part of the congregation. So I said, can I ask you a question? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Oh, he said, I worked in the charity business for 30 some years, and I've crossed paths with these Christian characters, and this dude doesn't know the Lord. That's it. So I said, Harry, you know what? The Lord loves you. He has a plan for your life, but you'll never know what you've missed out on or what you're missing out on until you come to that place of trusting Him by faith. Oh, yeah. Like water off a duck's back. And there's a lot of people like that. They're too busy trying to make money off of the things of the Lord rather than just serving them. Their own lusts. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him. Pastor Weston desired to know Him. Intimately. Not just casually. But intimately. To walk with Him. Hand in hand. The power of His resurrection. Now, do you ever stop and think about the power of the resurrection? Here was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb. And the soldiers were guarding. But they fell asleep on the job. Would have been automatic death. But the powers that be paid them off to say that while we were sleeping, somebody came along and stole his body. You know what? When I was a kid, I was born in a railway town, and they would make trains up all night long. I never heard them. How would I know trains had been made up? Only because I saw them gone in the morning. But he was resurrected. Who resurrected him? We're told that God the Father resurrected him. The Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And in the book of Romans, we're told about the Holy Spirit who raised up Jesus from the dead. So you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All were part and parcel of the resurrection. And when those people come knocking on your door and they tell you that Jesus is not God, you just ask them, well, who resurrected him? This word says the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit all had a part in the resurrection. So Paul talks about the power of the resurrection, the power to raise a dead body to life. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, the Lord Jesus said, they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you. It's going to happen. When? I don't know, but it's going to happen. Being made conformable unto his death. Now, Israel had lots of indicators regarding Messiah and who he is, was, and always will be, so that they would not miss it. There's several places through that Old Testament that tell us about Messiah coming, about the fact he would be born of a virgin, he'd be born in Bethlehem, so on and so forth. They had lots of opportunity. They also have the scriptures to know about him. Just go with me, if you would, to Exodus 25. There in Exodus 25, we see some pictures. This is a wonderful picture book. You might say, I don't see any pictures. Well, you have to look for them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them. Gold. First one mentioned is gold. Speaks of his deity, the fact that he is, was, and always will be God. Early last week, gold was sitting about $2,350 American an ounce. Silver speaks of the purchase of man. Brass, judgment. Blue, heavenly. Purple, his majesty. Scarlet, the fact that he's our Savior. On and on it goes. You drop down to verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, also known as acacia. What's the significance of this? Why can't you just take any kind of wood and build this ark? Because this acacia wood, it's hard, tough, smooth wood, sometimes used as a screw for a press. Now, you wouldn't want to use a piece of pine, because when you put a little bit of pressure on the pine, all you'd have is some scraps for starting a fire. But acacia, it's hard, tough, but it's smooth. Some woods, when they're sawed, they're splintery, and you'll get slivers in your hands. Not so with acacia. You see, it's picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. There are few knots in acacia wood, availing beautiful planks. Now this ark, he gives the dimensions. 2.5 cubits shall be the length. What's a cubit? From there to there, approximately. 2.5. And 1.5 cubits the breadth, and 1.5 cubits the height. So it gives them all the dimensions. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Not just gold, pure gold. No dross, none whatsoever. There's no sin in them, none. And thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. So it was to be crowned off with gold. Why? Because it's picturing Messiah. It's got to be done right. Otherwise, you break the picture. If you break the picture, what have you got? Nothing. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in the 4 corners thereof, one either corner, these rings. And 2 rings shall be in the one side and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves, poles, of shittim wood. Not pine, not some substandard product, but something that is going to hold the pressure. Verse 13, and thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. Remember, when David was bringing the ark back, they were bringing it on a new cart. They were not told to put it on the ark. Man wants to do things the easy way. Oh, yes, that's how the Bible says, but look, it's just easier. We'll just get ourselves a nice cart and carry it along, and nobody will have to do anything. Folks, it's a wrong mentality. You can't serve the Lord on easy street. get that out of your head right quick. It's not going to happen. Verse 16, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Not man's testimony, the testimony that he gives. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of, again, pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof, and the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. So this golden mercy seat was to go on the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. I've come to learn that when we read in the Word of God, I will or I shall, and God is the speaker, it's as good as done. We can count on Him. When we can't count on ourselves, we can count on Him. Why? Because He said He will. It's going to happen. That's all there is to it. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So they had this picture, the gold, speaking of the deity. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they were to use the shittim wood, the acacia. Why? Because it's strong. Be strong in the Lord. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's go to 1 Kings 14. We have King Rehoboam on the throne. Who is he? He's King Solomon's son, David's grandson. David was a man after God's own heart. But this grandson, Rehoboam, he didn't inherit his grandfather's faith. So in 1 Kings 15, and verse 22, and Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all their fathers had done. Verse 22. Verse 25, it came to pass in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. Hold on. These were given to Israel. And you've got the king of Egypt coming and taking the treasures of the house of the Lord. And the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. This gold is picturing Messiah to come. It's gone. Gone to Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. And this didn't seem to bother King Rehoboam. Oh, well, hey, so what? Verse 27, and King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields. brass is not gold. Gold speaks of the deity. Brass speaks of judgment. Oh, well, if you shine the brass up from a distance, hey, it looks similar to gold. But remember what the price was last Monday of gold? 2,350 Yankee dollars an ounce. What's brass? Well, about $30 a pound, maybe. Big difference. Brass doesn't picture Messiah to come. Rehoboam, the king, did not have Messiah in sight. So he put up something substandard. King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, verse 27, and committed them under the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. A lot of pomp and ceremony going on, but no reality. There's a lot of activity going on today in the name of Jesus Christ that's got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. If you want God's blessing, you do things God's way. Simple as that. So here's the king, grandson of David. Hey, no problem. The gold's gone. The king of Egypt satisfied. We'll just put brass in his place. Hey, you just work around it. Make it work. That's all there is to it. The things that the Lord has provided, like the ark and the gold and all that, and they were to carry the two tables, the Ten Commandments, basically. What is the importance of those commandments? First of all, protection. David said, Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's protection. If you're going to play sport, you put some protective gear on to take care of you. Well, you want to be protected through life, you hide his word in the heart. Why? That I might not sin against it. Why? Because it's going to rob us of God's blessing. It's simple. You don't need a doctorate degree in theology to figure out if I do what God says, he's going to bless me. Simple. Wow. And we see the purpose. Strength. The acacia is strong. The purpose of it for strength and power. Pastor Weston's desire was to know him, to understand who he is, to walk with him. And he put to music John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me." If one says, "I'm a Christian, but I don't necessarily follow this," don't tell me you're a Christian. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow. That's all a person can do, follow. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's what Saul of Tarsus asked. Brother Jeremy the other night, you know, when you look at Peter, three times at least, Peter was telling the Lord what to do. And the Lord says, "Get thee hence, Satan. upon the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, oh, hey, let's build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter, we're not staying here. Get that through your head. We don't need some long-term building, because we ain't staying. We're going. So Peter was permitted to write two epistles. Saul says, Lord, put the Lord first. What wilt thou have me to do? Saul wrote about half of the New Testament books. By the way, I didn't learn this in Bible school. Over time, you learn some of these things. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. Pastor Weston's desire was to know him and to follow him. Secondly, he investigated the word. Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not haphazardly, but rightly dividing. You know, it fascinates me when I hear of what's going on in the medical world. I was listening to BBC one morning, and they were talking about robotic surgery. Oh, this is fascinating. So the surgeon puts their hands in this unit, and there's a knife, and it just cuts a very little bit to do what needs to be done. Years gone by, when doctors were doing surgery, they'd make a great big incision, and then the patient would have to lie in bed for 10 days or 12 days before they got them up. What happens? You lose your muscle tone. You lose your muscle tone, it's hard work to get it back. The older you are, it's harder to get it back. So they're doing robotic surgery. They're just cutting what needs to be cut and nothing more. So he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't mess around with God's word, because it's true. It's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not sharp as, it's sharper. The Bereans, Acts 17, were known for searching the scriptures daily. That was their habit. And the Lord Jesus commanded in John 5:39 to search the scriptures. Why? Because they testify of him. Oh. Okay. Pastor Weston wasn't interested in funny stuff or man's ideas or heresy. He wanted truth. Why? Because truth works. He sought truth. He was thorough. He was genuine. Where did he get that from? Word of God. Thirdly, he lived what he learned. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. in the first century church there in the Middle East, there were a number of people who were potters, making vessels to carry goods in. And they'd make them on the wheel, and then they would fire them. And sometimes there would be a crack in them. And they would melt some wax in the crack, and then they'd paint it over. And this sincere means without wax. Because see, when the sun would hit that, that wax would melt. And there would be the crack. And they may have paid big money for this vessel, but it's substandard. It's like Rehoboam. Pastor Weston was sincere. Quoted that verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Why? That needeth not to be ashamed. If we read His word, if we study His word, and we hide it in our hearts, we stand before Him, won't be ashamed. If we neglect the word, if we fool around with the word, we're going to stand before Him ashamed. Wouldn't be good to stand before Him ashamed. We only get one opportunity to stand before the Lord. In Hebrews, we're told it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And we get one judging. That's it. Is He going to accept us? Or is He going to say, out? Hebrews 11:5, we read, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Pleased Him. Ephesians 4, Colossians 1, verse 10, we're told, walk worthy. Paul also says in Ephesians to walk circumspectly, around viewing, looking around. What's going on? Keep your eyes open. Don't just have the blinders on and say, oh, I'll get through this world somehow. No, walk circumspectly. Who's here? Who's there? Who can I talk to? Who is it? 1 Thessalonians 4:1, walk and to please God. And fourthly, he incorporated the gospel of Jesus Christ in his preaching so as to bring the hearers to the cross of Calvary. That's what's important. We've all got this appointment before the Lord. Peter says in Acts 4:12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not some casual thing. You know, there's a lot of isms on the go. Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, whatnot. A whole lot of us. But they'll not bring peace. What is Buddha? Well, you could go over to Bunnings and buy a bag of concrete and put some water and some sand in it, mix it up, and make a Buddha. What is it? Well, it can't talk, it can't hear, it can't smell, can't see. You might stub your toe on it, break your toe. Oh, Buddha, what do you do that for? Can't do anything. But the Lord Jesus Christ can save your soul for all eternity. And He has promised to give peace. My peace to those who will trust him by faith. It's as simple as that. If we refuse him, we're on our own. That's it. So Pastor Weston desired truth. He investigated truth. He lived truth. He incorporated the truth in his preaching. And I was thinking about the word diligent as I thought about him. And I thought, he knew the difference between ladies and gents. Matthew 19:5 says, he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. Pastor Weston didn't wonder about that. Why? Because it's in the Word. It's true. He was diligent in his study, diligent in his practice. Tremendous privilege to have known him, to have experienced relationship with him, and see his concern for the souls of men. Labored many years. He said to me one time, we labored 10 years at Northside in Adelaide. And he said, there were rebels in the crowd. And one morning he said, it's like the Lord spoke to me. He just said, not another word. And he said, I resigned. He listened to the Lord. And away he went. We can rebel against this word all we want, but we'll never know what we've missed out on. And it's God's blessing. Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? There's a vast difference between knowing him and knowing about him. We can know that fellowship that Paul talked about. If we don't know him, there's no fellowship. Simple as that. So I ask you, if you do not know him, consider what the Word says. Pastor Weston, along with the Lord, would have had you to be saved. The Lord says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you, he has a plan for your life, and he wants you right smack dab in the center of that plan. So are you willing to live out here and miss his blessing? Or do you want to be right in here in the center of his will? He tells us that we've all sinned. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Guaranteed. So would you trust him or would you not? So let's just bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the years that Pastor Weston labored over in South Oz and then here in Bathurst and area. And we just thank you for his testimony. Thank you for his diligence. Thank you that he was concerned for the souls of men, women, boys and girls. Thank you that he's there in your presence. We praise you that every word of God is true. And now he knows it there in your presence. And we'll thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.